whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those familiar words are taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, a passage known as the Christmas story. They were spoken by the angel who brought the wonderful news to common shepherds. Millennia later, believers still take great encouragement and hope from those words that the Savior has come. Listen now as Pastor Holland begins a message from the passage, The Story of Christmas.
Today with excitement say once again we have the privilege and the opportunity of looking at Luke chapter 2 to see what Christ has to say to you and I want to begin today with the announcement of Jesus's birth. I want you to understand, who does the announcement of the birth of his son go to? To whom would expect the announcement to go to? Truly today, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the ruler of the universe as well as the creator of the universe, truly we would not expect the message and announcement be given to those who it was in Luke chapter 2. Perhaps today we would think the birth of Christ maybe would have been heralded and announced to Herod the king. We might think that maybe the announcement would have went to the tabernacle or to the temple where the temple high priest went through the rituals of offering the blood of the bulls and goats for the sins of the people in order they might have forgiveness. In light of us, if we were living in the day when Jesus would come, wouldn't it seem appropriate that if he was going to announce that he was coming, that his son was going to be born, that he would come to the house of God, the place where we worship him and faithfully serve him? But you see, that's not where God chose to go. We don't understand. In fact, we may have a hard time understanding why Jesus or God chose this ragtag band of shepherds to make the announcement to. But I believe I have an answer to that in understanding. The announcement of the birth of the Son of God is not to a king in a palace. It's not to a priest in the temple. It's not to the wealthy. It's not to the powerful. It's not to the most influential people in the world. And you know, that gives us hope today, doesn't it? I'm telling you, you and I are nothing more than just common people saved by the grace of God on our way to heaven. And the Lord could have chosen a number of people, but he chose to go to a group of shepherds to make the announcement of his birth. The announcement of the birth of the Messiah, of the one that would grow up, would go to a cross and die for the sins of the lost, he announced it to the shepherds. Now again, not being distasteful or being disrespectful of shepherds, but again, I think that probably in that day, that was one of the lowliest jobs that anybody could ever have. I think today of how lonely it would be to be a shepherd. I think how difficult it would be to be out in a field for long periods of time, probably without a place to bathe and do the things we needed to do. But why did God choose them? It seems like, you know, today people have played to the people in places of power, people in place of purpose, people in place of wealth and finance. But he came to the lowly shepherds that day. These men were not social elite. They were not wealthy. They were not powerful. They were not notable. They were not popular by any stretch of the imagination. At least they were vile and dirty men who, for the most part, were social and religious outcasts. In fact, they were the last group of people on earth that we would have thought that he would have chose to make his announcement to. Yeah, those dirty social outcasts were the very ones that he came and announced his birth. The account of God's announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, I believe, contains many important truths, and the truths shared and seen that night, I believe, are still vitally important to you and I in order that we understand them. And so, by the help of God today, I want to share with you some of the truths that I find in Luke chapter 2. And again, I pray today that God would give us a refreshing outlook upon Luke 2, to understand the birth of the Savior, even though it happened over 2,000 years ago, The fact of it is, the truth still remains true that God has a message for you and I. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to look with me, and I'm just going to begin by reading in verse number 8. And the Bible said, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want you to see the first thing this morning is it's a story of wonder. It's a story of wonder. I think today, as we've already mentioned in the introduction, again, Jesus chose to announce His coming to a group of lowly shepherds. No one of any popularity. They would not be on anybody's list. But God chose the shepherds to receive the message. You reckon why He did that? I believe He did that because mainly He wanted those shepherds to know that He loved them. Can I remind you today, Jesus is not our God for the social elite. He's not our God for the wealthy and those who have things. I want you to understand the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible teaches us that God so loved the world. Who's included in the world? Every single one of us. No matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, no matter how much money you have or where you live, that makes no difference at all. I want you to know today that Jesus loves you, and He came in order that He might save you and give you eternal life. And so again today, as we look at this, we understand, I believe, that He especially wanted the shepherds to know that He cared about them. He cared about them in spite of all the other important people that He could have announced to. In spite of all the friends that might have been around, He chose them. You may think, if God is even aware that I exist, sometimes people do. You say, even if God knows that I exist, He probably don't have a favorable opinion of me. But I want you to understand today, the world may turn against you. Your parents may turn against you. Your children may turn against you. But friend, today, God will never turn against you. I don't care who you are worth something in the sight of God. I remember working in junior church years ago, and it was our desire in order that we might teach the young people that God cares about them. Sometimes when they feel as if nobody cares, if they seem that nobody's concerned about who they are or what they're doing, I remind you today, oh, Jesus cares. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Your friends may turn their back. Your family may walk away from you. But friend, I want you to know Jesus cares about you today. He cares about you in such a way that He will meet your need and give you exactly what you need as you serve Him and are obedient to Him. I want to set the record straight this morning in understanding this announcement. First of all, we see that God sees us as sinners. You know, today when He looks down, He doesn't see us as a bunch of good people. In fact, He sees us as a group of ungood people, if that's a good word we could use, but not good, because the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God means that we've all missed the mark. We may have aimed for it, we may have shot to it, but we've missed the mark of the glory of God and being the perfect holiness that He would have us to be. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I want you to understand today, God saw those shepherds as lowly men in a field with a bunch of stinking, dirty sheep. But He cared about them, and when He looks down and sees you and I, no matter what our social standing is, no matter what our popularity standing is, God sees every one of us as a sinner that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees us as a sinner that deserves His wrath. I'm glad today that I was saved years ago, but the Bible said in John 3:18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John 3:18, the word condemn means to act of a judging one guilty based on their guilt, inflicting upon the guilty party or the just penalty. What is the penalty? The Bible said, for the wages of sin. Not only does God see us as sinners that deserve the wrath of God, but God sees us as people who deserve to experience His judgment in hell. Now, there's a lot of preachers today that don't want to preach that. They say, well, I don't want people to be offended, and I don't want people to be hurt. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be more offended and be more hurt if somebody don't tell you the truth, and you end up in a place called hell. The Bible said that it's a flaming fire, and it's taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, these verses decide the end of those who refuse to believe the gospel. All those who reject the gospel will be cast into the lake of fire where they'll burn forever and ever. Those who are saved by the grace of God will experience God's grace and enter into the presence of heaven forever and ever. And in spite of us being lost, dead sinners who deserve to spend eternity in hell, God sees us as He saw the shepherds that day, as people that He loved. God sees us as people who can be saved from sin, transformed into saints, adopted as the children of God, and made worthy of eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came one day as a babe in a manger and died on an old rugged cross in order that He might give me eternal life. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 9, but God, I like it when it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and has raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell you, we get saved, we're transformed. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. But better than that, not only do we become transformed, but we become a child of God. He said in Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I understand the word Abba there means the personal thing of daddy. And I tell you today, that's what I called my daddy. I called him daddy. He was very, very close to me, and I was close to him. But I want you to know I'm close to God, and God is close to me because He loved me just as much as He did those shepherds that day. And He died in order that I might have eternal life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.
Has the Christmas story been true in your life? Have you accepted God's gift of the Savior coming to earth? The gift is freely available to you. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.